What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast where love is in the air all year round, whether it's Donald or Peter and. Today, Huddersfield hit the new manager button again. Blues best baggies in the West Midlands derby. There's 3-2s galore, a pint in the Chinese with Charlie Austin, and we tell you who's going up. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. Welcome in then, listener. It's time for our weekly review of all things Football League. It's me, Matt Davis-Adams, joined by Adrian Clark and Sam Parking. Hello, chaps.
Hello.
Hello, Matt.
Yeah, mixing it up a bit there. Gone for a double intro, two in one. Just trying to keep things fresh.
I didn't forget that we had a podcast to do today, which was good. It's a start, isn't it?
It's certainly fairly important. Yeah, I would say. What I don't want to forget, Clarky, is for you to get our plugs in for our various social media channels. So can you do that nice and early, please?
Nicely done. Yeah, it's very simple. It's at What the EFL on Instagram and on TikTok. And if you do follow us on that, you'll see clips of the show. You'll see bits of Matt, bits of Sam, bits of me, bits of our special guests. And on Twitter, we're EFL What the. We just went a little bit back to front on Twitter. But yeah, the more followers that we can get, the better.
Yeah, and Adrian's doing a terrific job sorting all that out, albeit Sam and I are some way ahead of him in terms of the Zoom background stakes, I would say. Just a pair of curtains for Clarky, as you'll see. Sam's got his iconic Bobby Moore and Pele hugging in 1970 picture. I've got my old Forest Repro European Cup shirt still hanging in the background.
Yeah, I lost my Arsenal shirt in the background shot because my 22-year-old son's come to stay. It'll only be a few weeks, Dad. I think we're 7 months in, so I've lost my office, but it's all good. Yeah, at least you can see my curtains now instead. Yeah,
very nice curtains they are too. We'll be talking about how it was curtains for Mark Fotheringham in a minute, but first, how good is this? The guys at Quinbet have enhanced their UK welcome offer where you can now get a free bet worth up to £35. It's for new customers that sign up only. You can check out the full terms and conditions at quinbet.com/promotions or use the link provided in the description of this pod. It's 18+, and remember, always gamble responsibly. All right, we're going to start today with our big weekend review. And it is a big weekend review. We're going to get to the game shortly. But first, there's been another managerial change since last we met. It's in the Championship and it's Huddersfield again. Strugglers sacked head coach Mark Fotheringham after just 4 months at the helm. He only won 5 of his 21 games in charge. Remember, he replaced Danny Schofield, whose own tenure had lasted a full 69 days. He went in September. The Terriers lost at Wigan on Saturday, their first game post-Fotheringham, their second bottom point from safety with a game in hand. Sam, when I was looking at this, the first note that I wrote was Warnock. And then I looked at the odds for the next manager and 1-2 was Neil Warnock. I mean, we've got to find something a bit more original than that, haven't we? He's the Alan Kirbishley for the 2020s. But I mean, it's not an attractive job, is it? Let's be brutally honest. Certainly not as attractive as it was in the summer when they were beaten playoff finally.
No, it would be a very surprising appointment considering, you know, the last few that they've appointed there. Lee Bromby, I think, is in charge of that job. I think they've been coming in for a little bit of flack because the most recent appointments have not worked, clearly. But yeah, shame for Fotheringham. Obviously, I knew him a long time ago. Really pleased when I saw him get the job. Had to deal with horrendous injuries initially. Looked to have shored them up, I would say, somewhat defensively, and that has just completely capitulated in the last month or so. And given that he was backed in the window as well, the two subsequent games and not been able to win, you know, playing against 10 men at Blackpool, relegation battle to drop the 2 points late on, that's obviously done for him. When they're looking at the table, they deemed it the right time to act because it is so obvious that you have to stay in the division above anything else. So they've made the call, and we'll see where they go from here. But I'd be very surprised if it was a firefighter type.
Oh, I love this. I'm just looking at Twitter. Sammy Mockbell of the Daily Mail, 14 minutes ago. Exclusive, Neil Warnock set to be named Huddersfield boss on a deal until the end of the season. I'd like them apples, Sam. What do you think then, Clark?
Oh, great appointment. Great appointment.
He's managed them before, isn't he? has he had them before?
Yeah. Of course he has. He's managed
long time
everybody.
Ago, right?
Yeah. 74 years young. One last stand.
Yeah. Look, I was actually going to contradict Sam anyway, genuinely a little bit, because it's so close at the bottom of the Championship. Really, really close. Sometimes I don't think this is the time for a philosophical manager, someone to come in with an identity and a style. You just need someone to give a bit of confidence to the players, to get them fighting for each other and to nick a few wins here and there. And that is Neil Warnock. He'll put his arm around them. He'll make them feel like they're better players than they are. And he might just keep them up. If indeed he does sign on the dotted line, he won't be there long, clearly, if he does go. But in the here and now, it probably does give them as good a chance as any to stay up. A bit of work to do. I was looking at the stats, XG in open play, the lowest by far. You take away their set-piece goals, of which there are many, they'd be down already. So they need to have a more rounded style of play. And I think they need to be better without the ball as well. They're the worst pressers in the division. And I think if you're Huddersfield, you've got to do that side of football better than most teams. You've got to do the application, the work, the organisation, the unsettling. You've got to concentrate on that. And I think Neil Warnock will try and implement that.
I just frantically pulled up his Wikipedia page, Sam. Playing career. After a brief stint working in a local undertaker's, Warnock started his professional playing career with Chesterfield. Huddersfield obviously down amongst the dead men. He starts away at Stoke on Wednesday. Briefly, is he going to keep him up, yes or no?
Sorry, we've given him the job in the last 5 minutes, have we?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, right. Sammy Mockbell of the Daily Mail exclusive. Yeah. Neil Warnock set to be named boss until the end of the season.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, they're only a point out of the way at the moment, aren't they, from survival? Yeah, he'll keep him up, yeah.
Good appointment then.
Great appointment. God, it's dull, isn't it?
Well, they've tried it with the young up-and-coming thing, haven't they? It hasn't worked, so go to back to Colin, see if he can keep them up. Right, let's go on with our actual review of football matches that happened. You're going to kick us off, Clarky, all the way back to Friday night. We're going, I'll tentatively call it a West Midlands derby, in the knowledge that it can get very specific in those parts with relation to the usage of that term, and there's apologies for any offence caused. Are you going big on your Hannibal puns, Clarky, for this one? West Brom bit off more
I've got,
than they could
I've
shoot.
Got none up my sleeve. I've got to be honest. But he was absolutely deadly, wasn't he, from that free kick, Hannibal. What a goal. For me, Hannibal's goal is one of the goals of the season so far, not just for the execution of it. It's just the ingenuity, isn't it, to see the goalkeeper just a fraction too far forward, second guessing that he's going to cross the ball in. And I just love the disguise. You know, he's really hammed it up, hasn't he? The close up camera showed him looking at the centre. He's got his hand up. You know, he did everything. He ticked every box to make the keeper think that he was going to cross it, and then he whipped it into the near post. It was sensational, and it capped a great performance from Hannibal as part of this excellent diamond midfield, which I think was the sort of tactical triumph on the night from John Eustace. Really, really good. Bielik at the base. You had Chong on the sort of left-hand side, Bakuna on the right. And then Hannibal is this sort of all-action midfield maestro that was doing a little bit of everything. And West Brom didn't really have an answer to that. So yeah, kudos to Eustace, to Birmingham. This was a top performance. They only had around a third of the accurate passes that West Brom had, but you know, they had more shots. They obviously won the game comfortably. They had full control of it. West Brom, with all their stars, only had 5 attempts on goal. So, excellent stuff from Birmingham City, who kind of just gone back to basics. What I'll say about West Brom, two things to pick up. One is the goalkeeper situation. Alex Palmer, I don't know if you know this, he's out, isn't he, for a number of weeks. At least 6, they say. Button, for me, is not at the same level. And he had a poor night. If anything happens to Daryl DK up front, both ends of the pitch, then next 6 weeks could be problematic and could kill West Brom's promotion hopes. And the other thing is, I don't know, I'm interested to hear what Sam thinks about this. I would question West Bromwich Albion's signing of Markel Brighton on loan. Not because he's not a good player, because he's a very, very good player. He's been a wonderful servant to Leicester City and he improves their squad massively. But Jed Wallace is, in my opinion, the best player in his position on the right wing in the Championship. You look at his goals and assists, the vast majority of them, I think all but one this season, have come from the right wing. And all Brighton coming into the team means that Jed Wallace plays at 10, where I don't think Jed Wallace is as good. So it's a great signing on paper, but for me, it's upset the balance of the team.
Frantically scribbling out West Brom in my 3 promoted sides from the Championship for later in the show. Funnily enough, I looked at the lineup this morning and I thought that all Brighton weakens their starting 11. As really, good a yeah. player as he has been, and he'll contribute something, him and Chalobah, since they've signed those two. But yeah, not in the starting 11 for me, with the amount of exciting forward players they've got.
Well, West Brom are 2 points outside the playoffs. They host Blackburn on Wednesday. Birmingham will look to make it 3 wins in a row, and they'll feel pretty confident they can do that when they take on Cardiff on Tuesday. And now Sam and I both had our hearts broken in West London on Saturday, but he's the only one who gets to talk about it. It's not Valentine's related, don't worry, listener. Critchley out, is it, Sam? QPR 1, Millwall 2?
It's getting close, I would say, but I can't have a third manager, can you? Huddersfield are. Get Warnock in. Get Warnock back. He got us promoted. Maybe it'll be announced by the time
it's
I finish
It's not too
talking.
Late. Double no, his money.
Yeah, yeah. Go and Tony Fernandez, whoever's in charge at QPR right now. Go and get him on the M1. I don't know if I want to see the manager changed, but it's pretty desperate. I think it does emphasise how good kind of Mick Beale's plan was. Start of the season, the kind of pattern of the team, the shape of the team. He fell on something that worked wonders, the kind of narrowness, the flying fullbacks. They're a really good watch. There's a apathy about going to watch QPR at the moment, which I felt at the ground on Saturday, and I don't want to go down the fan experience route too strongly because I know that's a big conversation and I don't have the numbers in front of me. The move to a new stadium can't come quick enough, and that's hard for me to say. And there isn't much movement in that regard. It's gone very quiet about the Linford Christie Stadium, but that was obvious to me being there on Saturday. I didn't enjoy it as a spectacle. The atmosphere's flat. The place needs a lick of paint. And there's obviously something romantic for me walking amongst those houses, walking to those games, because I've been doing it for 30 years. But I think what goes hand in hand with that is that if the team's winning, it galvanises the supporters to a degree. And the performances are so flat, really flat. You know, me and my brother went to the pub after the game and we were straight looking at the league table, thinking how many points they need to accrue to stay in the division. And we were talking about automatic promotion probably at the end of the summer. So, yeah, it was a definite 3 points, well-deserved for Millwall. They were the better side. QPR didn't have much in attack. Ilias Chair, the one bright spark. But, yeah, other than that, with Dykes missing, Chris Martin came on and got a goal, which will be good, and he'll be needed in the short term because they've got such a lack of numbers in the forward positions. He will be pivotal, I would say. Chris Willock came on for 5 minutes. He's obviously been hindered by muscular injuries, and he pulls his hamstring. So that's probably going to be the end of him for, you know, a number of weeks. So I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. I think there's probably enough there to stay in the division. I can't believe I'm saying that. But I think the problems run deeper. Need to try and recruit better as well. I don't know if they're paying the price a little bit for, you know, that summer a few years ago when they got Charlie Austin, Sam Field, and I think Johansson was maybe in that cluster of players as well, and they didn't get there last season. I think they're maybe just still financially up against it, and when they're not producing their own players, it's pivotal to get the right type in through the door. So, no, it's a real poor time at Rangers at the moment, but Millwall on the other side of it. 4 wins in 6 away from home. That was their Achilles heel early on in the season. I thought added well in the window in terms of Watmore and Burke. They needed a bit more directness in those wide positions. I'm still uncertain as to whether they're going to have enough to get into the playoffs. I still think they're a little bit light in a couple of positions. I don't love the midfield options, even though Billy Mitchell was the best player on display. And left back, Murray Wallace, I've always questioned as to whether he can be a good enough fullback. But yeah, Millwall's day, and 2 out of the next 3 against the top 2, Sheffield United and Burnley, to go to the Den in the next fortnight. So I think they won't be scared of that because their record at home against the big sides has been brilliant this season. But yeah, next 3 is going to be really interesting. Coventry away up first, and then the 2 biggies at the Den, and it will be rocking.
Yeah, certainly will. The Billy Mitchell, by the way, did you see that there was a little presentation in the dressing room? 100th appearance, was it?
Didn't rate his speech much, I've got to say.
No, but I like the lad. It just took me back. I do like those sort of dressing room video clips because it just takes you back to those days where, you know, the camaraderie is so strong. Yeah, loved it. And Millwall have always had that. On them, and Sam's hinted at it there, they'll need to surely score more goals from open play if they're going to make the playoffs. I think that Watmore gives them a little bit of something else, a little bit of speed and directness. They've only scored 13 goals from open play this season, Millwall. It's the lowest of any team in the Championship. They've scored 18 set-piece goals, which is the most by miles. If they can get the open play side of things functioning better, then they've got a great chance because you're always going to get corners and free kicks, and they're absolutely magnificent at them. So yeah, it's there for them, Millwall.
It's funny with the setup because you speak so often about Millwall being a 4-4-2 and the fans kind of demanding that. And at the weekend, it was a 4-4-2 to my eyes, but it didn't feel like that because I think they play a little bit more now. The two wide players tucked in a little bit, Watmore and certainly Honeyman on the right-hand side. But Fleming was right up there with Bradshaw to my eyes. So it is kind of the formation by design that the supporters always demand at Millwall. But I think there is more composure to this side. There's more strings to their bow. And no, they fully warranted the 3 points despite 5 minutes of QPR having a go at the end, which was amusing because Senny Dieng went up again and he was QPR's most dangerous player, which I thought surmised the 90 minutes quite well in that he was looking for his second goal of the season and produced a step over, which was nice.
Good for Ollie Burke. Good to see him back on the score sheet with my forest coloured glasses on.
Biggest enigma of the last decade,
I was going to say he's had a nomadic career, but yeah, we try and be kind. He's played for 7 different clubs, including loan, since he left Forest in 2016. He's tried Germany a couple of times, hasn't he? And it hasn't happened for him, but maybe Millwall's the place.
He went on amazing, Matt. 2-1 up, dying embers of the game when QPR were knocking on the door, went past about 4 players. It was amazing. You know, like I'd said to my brother, he's got ridiculous explosive pace when he gets going. Slalomed in and out of players, edge of the box, just bent it wide of the post. It would have been that wonderful solo goal.
Yeah, enigma is a good word to use to describe him. Let's get on to a tale of two cities at Ashton Gate. Bristol beating Norwich by 1-0. Bristol City, 9 games unbeaten, 7 points off the playoffs with a game in hand. I'm interested in this, Clarkie, because it feels like Nigel Pearson has been on his final warning for a while now, but he's turned it round. Once described perfectly, I think, by vice writer Ben Matchell as having the energy of the policeman who married your mum and then made your bedroom his Taibo workout zone. He's got that kind of needless aggression about him, hasn't he? But he's doing well at Ashton Gate all of a sudden, and who knows, maybe him and Mark Sykes can help lift them up into the playoff places.
Definitely, yeah. No, it's going brilliantly for Bristol City. We haven't talked about Bristol City enough on this podcast, really, I guess. I mean, first of all, love the kit. I think it works well for them with the red shirts with the white sleeves. You know, I don't think it's any coincidence they're starting to fly now in that particular style of kit. Now, what I like about what Pearson has done there is that he's lowered the age. Well, I think that will have been slightly deliberate. If you took out Naki Wells and Matty James, both in their 30s, the average age would have been 23 from their starting 11 at the weekend. Lots and lots of good young prospects, players that they've picked up from lower leagues as well that are shining, like George Tanner, for example, at right back. I think he was at Carlisle before and has come in as doing a sterling job, and they've got good academy products as well, haven't they, that have made a difference this season. The turning point for this 9-game run seems to be the change of system. So they were playing for back three, probably protecting their weakness, which is understandable. Oh, we're not sure about our defensive players. Let's go with three at the back, which Pearson has always kind of liked. Well, he's now playing to their strengths, and he's got rid of a defender, gone with a back four, and he's pushed the players that were playing at wing back into a wing role. And Mark Sykes is one of those. He's got 5 goals and assists in his last 6 games. And he's doing damage in the positions where he wants to be on the pitch rather than having to worry about playing out wide on his own. So I think that's made a big difference. You've seen Sam Bell on the other side doing superbly. So yeah, and I look at Bristol City squad. Obviously they recruited Anis Mameti in the window from Wickham, Harry Cornick as well. You look at their bench at the weekend, Cornick, Vyman, who was brilliant last year, Anis Mameti, Andy King, De Silva, at the moment injured, Tommy Conway's injured, Cal Naismith's injured, Kane Wilson is injured. They've got a pretty good squad. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs, but they're heading in the right direction.
All right, well, are they going to make our list of teams who are going to get promoted? Stick around, you'll find that out later. Spoiler, probably not. Let's go into League One. Shrewsbury might not be there next season at this rate. They continue to fly up the table. Not that Shrews can fly. 3-2 win for them against Port Vale on Saturday. Came from behind, but they were 3-1 up by half time. Sam, they've won 6 league games in a row for the first time since 2015. We all have a soft spot for Steve Cotchrell, don't we, after the horrible last few years that he's been through. But my goodness me, he's got them going.
Who was in charge in 2015 for 2 points?
Neil Warnock.
You use him a lot on this podcast. You used him last week.
Hurst?
It's one of your favourite.
Mickey Mellon.
Correct. Okay. Twisting my melons or whatever you go for. Frequently. Yeah, that's... that's not that surprising, is it? Because 6-1 is on the spin. Yeah, it's some going, but you don't have to go out too far. Yeah, this is... this is an incredible run. It really is. And I think they had those couple of really big victories around about a month or so ago, which were really out of keeping with Shrewsbury and what we know about them. They're defensively pretty well set up, very good at set pieces, don't score an abundance of goals. And they've returned to type really in the last four games, winning every game by the odd goal. I don't think they necessarily deserve to win every game during this run, but this one, they certainly did. Blew Port Vale away in the first half. It's a huge set piece threat. Scored 15 now from set pieces, only Ipswich Moor. And Port Vale should have known about that, but physically there was a bit of a mismatch. Daryl Clark lacked physicality in his back line and up front. Didn't go with an orthodox front man until half time when Proctor came on and he made another substitute defensively. By that stage, 3-0 behind. So bit of a mountain to climb. A few standout performers in Shrewsbury's lineup. Ryan Bowman, he scored in his last two, but this was an all-round centre forwards display. Dominated, like I said, against a pretty small back Port Vale defensive line. Killian Phillips, a lad on loan from Palace in midfield, actually saw him play for 50-odd minutes against Oxford in the EFL Cup for Palace early part of the season. He was very good as well. Lehigh, 6 goals, 2 assists in the league, 9 in all comps. He played at centre-back. So this was even more impressive because there was one injury and one suspension in Steve Cottrell's back line. So he had to make 2 changes there and they get another really well-deserved victory. And I don't see it necessarily stopping here. Exeter away, Accrington away, the next two. They have they've won 11 of their 14 games, their victories, and come against teams in the bottom half. So I could see this continuing over the next fortnight, that's for sure.
No sign of a taming of the Shrews, but Derby's long unbeaten run in League One is ended. They lost 3-2 at Wickham at Adams Park. Lewis Wings brace helping the Chairboys to victory. And like Bristol City, Clarke, I feel like Wickham are a team who we haven't spoken about much. Last season's beaten playoff finalist, but dare I say, quietly going about their business. 3 wins on the spin.
They're on the rise, no doubt about that. And they Wickhamed Derby, didn't they? I think there's a lot of teams, a lot of players out there that use that as a phrase when they get beat there. It's like, yeah, we got Wickhamed. It's what happens. And what does being Wickhamed mean? I think it means being outworked, out-muscled, and losing those duels inside both boxes. And that's what Wickham have been superb at over the years under Gareth Ainsworth. And they did really well here. I think probably a draw might have been a fair result. Derby weren't bad by any stretch of the imagination, but Wickham found a way. There was a great set piece goal. I don't know if you saw it. Beautiful routine where they hoodwinked Derby by putting everybody inside the 6-yard box, and then short corner was squared to the edge of the box for Lewis Wing to hit it in and took a deflection. He went in with no centre backs, which is amazing, really, in the game. Ainsworth, he had Grimmer and Joe Jacobson, two guys that we're more used to seeing at fullback. So they were a bit short, but they produced a great performance. I think the midfield made the difference. Scowen, Wing and Wheeler. And I've seen Wickham in the flesh a couple of times this season. That's a pretty good unit. They didn't give you any time. They give you zero space. They're in your face. And I think they disrupted Derby's flow. I've got a quote for you that I have to read out from Paul Warne. And it just goes to show you should never, ever believe what a manager says. So in the aftermath of the game, Paul Warne, who we all love, said, "Yep, they've won 13 out of 14 at home and now 14 out of 15, unfortunately. They make it difficult to play against them." That's a direct quote. Actual record in all competitions, played 19 at home, won 8, drawn 5, lost 6. So, not quite 14 out of 15, Paul, but yeah, it's a nice try.
He was talking about moral victories, I think. But, you know, you go to Derby, you're going to lose some of your honesty, some might say. Let's move on quickly to League 2. Stevenage losing at home for just the second time this season. Bradford beat them 3-2. It'll be good news for the old fellow who I saw on the train down to London on Saturday. He was off for a corporate jolly in his son's box, dressed up to the nines, Bradford City fan, talking with some lads who are about 5 cans deep. This is on the 08-19, about how Andy Cook was going to fire them to promotion this season. Somebody actually entered the field of play to make a beeline for him and was arrested during this game, which is shocking. Not as shocking, Sam, as the fact that Matt Derbyshire is still playing football. I had no idea of this. And that specifically, he's at Bradford and scoring goals. Crazy days.
I thought you'd enjoy that, weirdly. He played for Forest, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's been pretty much everywhere around Europe since then, by the looks of it.
Yeah, and a good place to start, I think, because him, Adam Clayton and and Sam Stubbs are the newish players that have made a real difference here. And Andy Cook as well, a good place to start, because Mark Hughes took him out the firing line. He was sub for five games relatively recently, brought him back in. I think Verdane Oliver maybe played in his absence, but obviously he wasn't in the best of nick. He's had a little break and he's returned with 3 in 2 games and an assist, I think, at the weekend as well. And yeah, I don't know the intricacies of what went on, but he enjoys scoring that, I think, Andy Cook. We all enjoyed scoring, but he likes giving it, is probably what I'm getting at. I think he likes having a bit of to and fro with the opposition supporters. So maybe there was a little bit of that and someone's overstepped the mark. But yeah, good to see him back in form, because start of the season probably felt that he was going to be a difference maker for them. This was the first time they've gone behind and subsequently come back to win. 6 times they've conceded first, lost all 6. So that's a bit of a game changer for them. 1 more games away from home as well. So it's that inconsistency at Valley Parade that they need to try and rectify if they're going to be serious contenders. I'm not all in on them yet, but it ended a run of 3 straight draws. And considering the first half was a little bit of a non-event, which it can happen against Stevenage because they can impose their style on you. And I think this happened here. Stevenage scored, obviously, from a couple of set pieces, centre-halves, and I don't think Bradford's better players were able to get on the ball, the likes of Walker, Clayton, in the second half. So, yeah, big turnaround in the second period, and I think those aforementioned new signings with Derbyshire could give them a little bit of impetus as they try and cement their place in the playoffs.
So Derbyshire in Yorkshire is out of touch, Clarkey. I've just looked at where he was last. North East United. Can you tell me which league they are currently bottom of?
North East United? Never heard of that. I'm going to go for... the Pakistani League.
Oh, it's close. It was the Indian Super League. Oh.
Yes. I think that's a fall from grace if he's playing for South Shields.
Yeah. Well, he was also at MacArthur FC in Australia. Actually,
sorry, no offence to South Shields. I think they're a lot higher than probably I was.
The North East United, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the North East United, yeah.
Looking forward to reading Matt Derbyshire's autobiography in a couple of years. Anyway, final game of our weekend review, and it's 2 defeats in as many matches for Jody Morris at Swindon. His Robin side lost 2-0 at home to Doncaster as they dominated possession and had 1 shot on target, Clarkey. So they're the League 2 Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, technically, very good team, neat and tidy. Not bad to watch, but... no punch, not the moment anyway. You've got to have both sides to your game, especially at League 2 level, haven't you? So, yeah, it was a little bit blunt, wasn't it, going forward from Swindon in the game. And real frustration that they were beaten by a Donny team that are either win or lose, aren't they? I was looking at their record. 7 wins, 7 defeats since mid-October. They've got some good scalps under their belt as well during that run, but they're equally likely not to show up, Doncaster. But yeah, they'll be really pleased with how they defended in the game. And the brace of goals from Luke Molyneux was fantastic. And it just makes you think, well, why hasn't he been doing this more often? I think I'm right in saying that he hadn't scored in his previous 27 matches for Doncaster. And then he got 2 in a couple of minutes, which is mad, really. And one of them, it showed explosive pace. I don't know if you saw this one, Sam. I'm sure you did. He took the heaviest touch I've ever seen as he checked back inside the box. It's about 10 yards out of his feet, but he somehow still got there first and chopped his shot back in at the near post. He got 12 for Hartlepool last year, so he is a goal scorer. But until now, it hadn't happened. So maybe Molyneux will kick on now and Doncaster can too. So, yeah, not a great start for Jody Morris. But the sort of headlines were grabbed by Charlie Austin, weren't they, after the game. Interested to get your thoughts on his exchange with the supporters, Matt.
Yeah, so he goes up to some Swindon fans at the end of the game. One of them's having a moan at him about the result. And he says, what are you going to do, mate? You're going to go home and in about half an hour, you're going to have a pint in the Chinese. Sam, I mean, is that an insult?
What is it?
That sounds like a good Saturday night.
Well, the last line's inaudible, isn't it? You can't quite hear what comes after the Chinese, which I was frustrated about. Tried some different headphones. I think it's important to the context of the exchange.
I replayed it about 5 times as well, yeah.
So
yeah,
maybe you're saying, and you're going to order something boring like a chicken chow mein.
I don't know. I don't really know the... What's the? I don't.
Where
I don't
was he going with it?
I don't even know what the gripe was. Like, you can't have, because you're going to forget about it. Yeah, you just boo him because it's, you know, something to do at the end of the game, and then you're going to forget about it in 10 minutes. Is that the premise of what was said? I don't know. Like, it's not, it wouldn't have been my style. I think, you know, you're fighting a losing battle there, aren't you? It's probably better now to maybe do it over social media. I'm saying that through gritted teeth a little bit, but yeah, I don't know, for a blog or, you know, for a fans forum or something like that. But at the moment, there's no panic. It's two games. It feels like a little bit of lack of activity in the transfer market is going to give a little bit of time maybe to the new management team, which is understandable because I think they're a little bit light in a few positions. So we'll have to wait and see if the results will turn. They got a big one at Sutton tomorrow and then Salford at the weekend. But there's no reason for panic right now. I think taking on a set of disgruntled supporters have probably partaken in a few pints in the County Grand Hotel is a bit of a losing battle.
Yeah, we'll keep our eye on that and what other insults Charlie throws out between now and the end of the season. But next today, we're going to debut a new feature. It's called Team of the Week. It's being marshalled this week by Sam Parkin, and it concerns a League One team who are hot to trotters. Tell us more, Sam.
Well, yeah, I'm just going to get the apologies in. I don't know if Clarkey can add to this. Wickham were my other ones that I was wrestling with just because of the run that Derby were on, really. But I don't think you can ever discount a team who's won 5-0, 5-0 away from home, especially given Peterborough had won their first three games under Darren Ferguson during his seventh spell at the club as manager. So yeah, I think this is a pretty complete team. I thought two individuals, the goal scorers, stole the show, really. They were Santos's first goals in over 100 appearances, and he nicks a brace, two untidy goals. And Dion Charles, I wanted to get your take on this. His hat-trick came across 9 minutes accumulatively, but with the 15-minute half-time break. It's not 9 minutes, is it?
No.
Is it? What? Is it? Oh, there we go.
Of course it is.
Is it?
He scored the goals within 9 minutes of each other. It's a 9-minute hat-trick.
What if there was added on time at the end of the first half?
Wow.
Do you see what I mean? There's a grey area, isn't there?
I would call it a 9-minute spell either side of half time.
Yes. Yes. That's
not quite as catchy, though, is it?
That's why you're on the big dough. Yeah. So, Dion Charles, hat trick, 9-minute hat trick, plus 15, plus added on time. First player in 35 years to score a hat trick away from home for Bolton.
What a stat that is.
Like, surely Owen Coyle got three somewhere along the line. That's
Mixie Patalainen, you'd think, or John McGinley would, you know, maybe it was a bit before their time.
What's the Scandinavian striker that was capable of the odd beaut up front?
Mixie Patalainen, no?
Nah, Kevin Davis here, a bit later.
Oh, Elmander.
Yeah. Did he not get a treble? Anyway, I digress. 35 years. A brilliant win. Incredible defensive record, 16 clean sheets now for young James Trafford. And there was another Manchester City loanee in the back line, in the back three, Luke Mbeti. He was very good as well. Gethin Jones, right wing back, in for Connor Bradley, we did on the scouting report. He was very good as well. They have conceded four in the last 11 games. And when you think of the business that they've done in the window as well, similarly to what Clarkey did a few moments ago, the bench, he did Bristol City, didn't he? Adebiejo, Jerome, Isgrove, can't read that, Sheehan, sorry, and Randall Williams. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous strength in depth they've got now. They've got a number of defenders as well. They can rotate that back three, which has been really successful for Ian Everett. So this is a really good side, and that's clearly a big statement win against a much improved Peterborough.
Yeah, we've spoken before, haven't we, about how they make use of their location well, just looking at their list of loanees, one from Man United, one from Man City, and two from Liverpool. Obviously, they can keep a close eye on them with them being close by. But we have given Ian Everett some stick, Clarkey, haven't we, over the last year or so? So we ought to give him some praise as well.
For sure. Yeah, no, I think we're right to pick out the recruitment as well. The geographical advantage is huge, isn't it? You've got some really good young talent on the doorstep. And if you can prove to those big clubs that you're the kind of manager that will give these guys regular game time and coach them on the training field and develop them as well, then you're on to a winner. So, yeah, no, very good. I mean, that defensive record is exceptional. And I think that it has to put Bolton Wanderers in the frame for a return to the Championship, maybe via the playoffs. Because if you can defend, you know, when you get in those match play situations, you're going to be tough to beat over two legs.
All right. Well, talking about promotion contenders, we're going to pick who we think are going up next. So no scouting report this week. Instead, we thought we'd have a guess at who's going up from each division. Let us know via our various social media channels just how wrong we are. Let's start with you, Adrian. Who is going to win the Championship? Who's going up automatically? Who's going up through the playoffs?
Yeah, well, Burnley are going to win the Championship. I don't think there's any shock in me saying that. Are Sheffield United going to cling on or kick on during the latter stages of the season? I think they'll be able to keep enough of a distance between themselves and Middlesbrough. They're a pretty solid side, Sheffield United. So I think that those two will go up. Middlesbrough are the next best team, in my opinion, by quite some distance. And I think they will go up as playoff winners. I've been sort of jostling with a few ideas on who might make it. The way I've done it, Middlesbrough beat Sunderland in the semi. Then they meet the winners of Millwall v West Brom, who are going to be a shock finalist in Millwall. But I think Middlesbrough will beat Millwall in the playoff final at Wembley quite comfortably and take their place in the top flight. That's my prediction.
All right. I'm glad you said Millwall for the beaten playoff finalists, because otherwise I've gone exactly the same. I'm sure Sam's got Burnley champions too. Sheffield United second. I've got Borough beating Sunderland 3-2 in an all-time classic playoff final. How about you, Sam?
Yes, I'm thinking along the same lines, although I gave it away, didn't I, earlier on. I'll go West Brom to beat Middlesbrough.
Oof.
I think Middlesbrough are going to be third. Really like them. To contradict a little bit of what I said earlier, well, not to contradict, I think they've got good forward players, West Brom. You forgot Thomas Asante, Clarkey. Mm-hmm. He's come to the fore, hasn't he, in the last few weeks before his suspension. So I think they've got good goal threat.
Do you
in
think they've
side.
Got good enough defenders, West Bromwich Albion? Because I look at that back four and I still think it's a back four of fullbacks.
I think they've got a good enough coach to get away with that.
Yeah, okay.
So that would be what I'd fall back on. They have got Cole Barkley, haven't they? And they've got Ajayi off the top of my head to come in. I know they have been playing. They have been playing fullbacks there. Peters has done really well, hasn't he? And I'm just hoping that Friday was an off night. And I think that can happen in a derby game. It can happen against a robust side like that. And now that Corbrand's signed the new deal, and if there was any speculation, any doubt in his mind, he can fully focus on the job in hand. So I fancy them to get into the playoffs. And then, as we know, it's who can put together the game plan to get through. And I think Corbrand is your man.
All right. Some selected odds from our friends at Quinbet. Burnley 1-7 to win the league. So yeah, that's pretty much done. In terms of getting promoted, Sheffield United 1-12, Borough 2-1, Watford 10-1, Luton 5-1. Go to the site and have a look if you fancy somebody else. League One wise, I've gone Sheffield champions, runners-up Derby, because if I say it out loud, that might mean that it doesn't come true. And then Ipswich beating Plymouth on Pens in the playoff final. Sam, can you offer me much difference to that?
You have to have a bet on Derby with Quinbet as well, Matt, just to soften the blow. Do you know what I mean? That's what you've got to do there. You've got to play
the old jinx bet on.
Playing wine games with yourself. Yeah, I think Sheffield Wednesday are probably going to be too powerful. So I've gone them. Then I'm going Plymouth. I just can't be nasty about Plymouth after we had Stephen Schumacher on. He's a top man. I said they capitulate last year. I can't see them doing it. I cannot see them doing it, but it sounds crazy because no question Sheffield Wednesday and Ipswich have better squads, in my opinion. Shows me that he is a very, very good young coach, very good tactician. So I'm going to go for Plymouth to finish second, and I'm going to go for Derby to break Ipswich hearts in the playoff final. I think Ipswich are the best side. I just don't see this happen a happy ending.
Interesting. All right. This is very interesting for you, Clarkie, because you've got Ipswich connections. You're still reeling from
He's not going to have Cambridge in there, is he?
Well, I was wondering if he's going to put Plymouth in there, given your checkered history with predicting Pilgrim's results. Let's find out.
Yeah. Champions of Sheffield Wednesday. Runners up are the Tractor Boys, aren't they? Come on, the Super Blues. The reason being, and
you've
I don't want to go
2-2.
Again.
Clarkie, is that enough? You've seen enough there to think that they're going to be able to string some
bits
wins
and pieces
together
from Ipswich. I just think they've got great depth. They've got good options. I think I rate Kieran McKenna highly, and I think that they can come good if Plymouth falter. Why would Plymouth falter? Well, they've lost their keeper. And he is a big player for them. He is fantastic, Cooper. So that's a big loss. And the fixtures aren't great for Plymouth. I was looking at them. A lot of tough away games between now and the end of the season. We know how brilliant they are at home. On the road, I think they might drop a few points. So, yeah, I'm going to put Plymouth in third. And I'm going to actually say that it's going to be heartbreak for them. They'll lose to Barnsley in the semi-final. Derby will just scrape past Bolton, and Derby will go up as playoff winners. So I'm with Sam on that. That's how I see things panning out.
Worrying. Okay, selected odds from Quinbet on League One. You can get 8-13 on Sheffield Wednesday to win it. Plymouth are 4-1. In terms of promotion, Ipswich 4-9, Derby 5-4. Wickham, who we mentioned earlier, 12-1 to go up.
Derby for you to look forward to next season though, Matt, isn't it?
Not cool. Not cool. And anyway, I don't think Leicester are going to get relegated here. Let's go to League Two. Adrian, dare you utter the word Steve Evans leads Stevenage to glory?
Oh, they're going up. I'm confident of that. I think Leighton Orient might have had their blip, though. So I'm going to go with Leighton Orient to win the title narrowly from Stevenage. Wild card for third is going to be Stockport. They're the team on the march at the moment. I had a little wobble a few weeks ago, but got goals in them at the moment. And yeah, a lot of firepower in that team. And I think that they're capable of sneaking into third. As for the playoffs, I'm going to go with Bradford to win the playoff final under Mark Hughes against Nigel Clough. I'm going to put him up against Mansfield in the final again. Obviously, Clough, he said he had the worst day of his football career last year in the playoff final. Bad news is that he's got another bad day coming. So, Bradford to beat Mansfield at Wembley.
Good news, Nigel, is that I've got you going up automatically in third place behind the champion Stevenage and second place Orient. I also like Stockport. I think they beat Northampton 3-0 in the final. Can you get more specific than that, Sam?
Mine's exactly the same. Really, really boring. But I have been saying Stockport for about 3 months. But yeah, just to annoy JB McInerney, I'll stick with Stevenage to win the league. Leighton Orient second. Then a bit of a toss of a coin. Mansfield third. And they're on a brilliant run, aren't they? On a brilliant run, Mansfield, last two or three games, and Stockport getting stronger and stronger as the season goes on. So, yeah, bit of a surprise, but yeah, Stockport to go up maybe through the playoffs.
All right. Well, according to Quinbet, Orient are 5-6 to win the league. Stevenage 11-8. In terms of getting promoted, 11-8 is also the price for Stockport. 11-4 for Mansfield, 9-4 for Bradford. Those prices are accurate at the time of recording, but remember, they might shift after the midweek matches. So head to quinbet.com to get the very latest.
Well, they'll shift after Sam and, you know, after our tip, surely. You know, there's going to be some big money put on over the coming days. I'm convinced. Of it.
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe.
do let us know who you think going up via our various social channels. We would appreciate it. We're nearly done for this week, but of course I've got a tweet of the week for the boys to delve into. It comes from Hayden Hackney, the Middlesbrough player who tweeted after their win at Cardiff. A picture of him, as is the style taken by the club photographer during the game. Here he's about to take on Romain Sawyers by the look of it. He says, +3 points, face with loads of hearts around it emoji, travelling fans, 2 flames emojis, #UTB, and then tags in Middlesbrough. He's probably done that himself, Sam, because it's straight from page one of the footballer's tweeting textbook. Is it a little too prosaic for your liking? Would you have liked to see a bit more detail in there, perhaps? Or is that all you're looking for from a Hayden Hackney tweet?
It's like one of my tweets, isn't it? Just get it done. Don't, you know, just through gritted teeth, just bear it.
Do you tweet? I haven't seen one for a while.
I tweet, yeah. I normally retweet your stuff, Clarkie, because it's so witty.
Yeah, right.
So well scripted. Well, he's been a brilliant player, hasn't he? But there's nothing to like here. Other than I do like the heart eyes emoji. That's the only credit I'm going to give him. 2 out of 10.
Wow.
Stretch.
Where'd you get this emoji from? Not seen this one. Is it available on all good emoji stores?
You can find
stores?
It. Yeah, you can find it. It's kind of a smiley face with 3 hearts.
That kind of detail without my glasses is impossible to find.
You do love a flames, though, Clark. Does that make it more than a 2 out of 10 for you?
Yeah, it's more than the two. Sam's just trying to provoke the listeners, isn't he? He's trying to, you know, it's clickbait from Park in there, I think. It's being way too hard. No, it's a 4 out of 10. It's not the best. And one thing though, let's get following Hayden Hackney. He's only got 5,902 followers. I mean, it's a player, you know, starring for a side that could be in the Premier League this time next year. So
probably tells a story, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's where he's come from, Sam. Yeah,
of what he's producing,
what he's tweeting. Yeah, his last three tweets.
He's got around about the same amount of followers as me. It's all adding up.
His last three tweets have all had flames emojis on them. And then before that, he's gone the three hearts around the face smiling emoji for the two prior to that. Or the three prior to that as well. Four prior to that. Oh, Hayden. Three flames emojis on one of them. Delighted to have signed a new deal for my hometown club. And then he's got what looks like the flag of Austria. Yeah, it is the flag of Austria emoji. Want to thank my family and friends for continuing to support me on my journey. There's that emoji with the three hearts around a smiling face again. Yeah, if you want more followers, up your quality of output a little bit, please, Hayden. Output is always high quality, Adrian. Where can people find us on social media?
Instagram, what the EFL. TikTok, what the EFL. There's going to be lots and lots of videos this week of us in action. And tell your friends, get following, tell your mates. On Twitter, we're at EFL What The. We just want more followers. We want more listeners. Just spread the word if you enjoyed the podcast. It will help us all.
Yeah, absolutely. And remember, our friends at Quinbet have enhanced their UK welcome offer. You can now get a free bet worth up to £35 for new customers that sign up only. You can check out the full terms and conditions at quinbet.com/promotion or use the link provided in the description of this pod. It's 18 plus, and remember, always gamble responsibly. That's going to bring this edition of What the EFL to a close then. Thanks to Sam and Adrian for their diligence as ever. Thanks to Hayden Hackney for his Twitter output, and thanks to me for checking Twitter to see if Neil Warnock was indeed going to get the job. Not officially confirmed by the club at time of recording, but it seems that the inevitable Warnock is going to resurface. Thanks for joining us this week. We'll catch you again soon. Bye for now.